It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Sports fans, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled, Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. You know, one of the things that I find very interesting is aging athletes.
How old are we talking?
Well,
like they're still playing? Or
no.
Ones that
after they're retired. Okay. And you look at them and you go,
yeah, there's an ESPN 30 for 30 up, and like they're showing the 86 Mets. It's kind of a feature on the 86 Mets. So then you see like old Daryl Strawberry,
right.
Old Lenny Dykstra.
Yes.
And you start to go, old Keith Hernandez. And you're going, yeah, man, these guys, when they were in their prime, I mean, that was.
Because, like, I don't feel like I've changed. I feel like I look
38 years ago, man.
I look exactly how I used to look.
No, right? For sure.
Yeah.
No. Scott, whatever everybody else tells you, they're lying.
Okay? I actually think I look better. And I think some of these guys actually look better when they – you know who?
Not Lenny Dykstra.
No. Let's get past the Mets. I'll tell you someone who I think actually looks good.
After their playing days.
Yes.
Who?
Brett Favre. I think Brett Favre looks better now than when he played.
He looks like – you know what? Because does those Wrangler commercials. Well, and
he has the peppery
rugged,
beard and
yes,
all that. Yes,
the rugged cowboy look.
Looks
I mean,
good.
It's like if I could wear the same compression copper gloves that he does while I'm in the garden and keep my joints loose, Scott, I could be just like Brett Favre. So, yeah, Brett Favre's one of those guys. Tom Brady looks exactly the same.
Yeah.
He's the same age as Brett Favre.
But have you seen Tom Brady, though, his look through the years?
Yes, he was
almost
in way
like
worse
Madonna
shape at the beginning.
Me.
What do you know?
Well, Madonna like changed her look all the time to stay relevant, right?
So yeah,
she reinvented herself.
He got skinnier, and he was like, I think it's hilarious. He does these Subway commercials. Have you seen them all? He does these Subway commercials, and their whole thing is like, Tom, why are you doing these commercials? You don't even eat bread. He's like, I quit it. It's a commercial, but which
he goes,
is great.
Look, I give my sandwich to Gronkowski.
Right?
Yeah, Gronkowski will eat the sandwich.
Gronk loves the multigrain bread. All right, Scott, I want to bring up Charlie Brewer's play. On Saturday, it was a very different outcome, obviously, in the game versus BYU. But it was also just a very different Charlie Brewer than we saw. The guy who was in total control against Weber State and save a few drops from his teammates, he was pretty perfect in that first outing against Weber State. So if you were to get into a film room with him and to talk to him about some of the things that happened in that game against BYU, what changed from game one to game two, and what does he need to improve on?
What I think really happened to Utah was having turnovers early, and I think it shell shocked. I think it surprised them. I think they were like, oh my goodness, and they just didn't respond to adversity very well.
Besides, BYU only got 3 points off those two turnovers.
Right, but it was just psychologically. So when your offense is trying to get in a rhythm and really flow, and that's what turned around for Utah. The offense looked so similar to this a couple of years ago, early on in the season. They were just a little bit disjointed, a little bit out of sorts, whatever. And so it's finding those high percentage plays that really just get you in a flow and really get you going. And when we had Jaron Hall on the show last night, I was asking him because I wanted to know, like, how much emphasis do you put on third down during the week? Because it just feels to me like third down for Utah right now. See, look at Dwight Gooden.
Yeah, Dwight Gooden.
He doesn't even
better.
Look like. Well, yeah, I didn't even know it was Dwight Gooden other than his name was under.
I know.
It just looks so different.
It looks good.
But when you just kind of treat it like another down, and sometimes those practice habits don't. There's not a sense of urgency in the game. Like, we've got to convert this this down, because we've got to keep this drive alive. And I don't find that sense of urgency with Utah on third downs. I haven't seen it yet in two games where we've got to convert this. We've got to make this matter. And I don't know what it is, if it's better play calling, if it's better execution, if there's a focus on it. But that's one of the big things that needs to change with the quarterback play. A sense of urgency on third down and getting into a good flow and a comfort level on those first downs, and especially early in the game.
Is his quarterback play, did it go downhill? And is it one of those things where, because I had a couple people over the weekend who were like, I guess we basically got ourselves another Jake Bentley here. I don't think they're in that
situation. Heavens no. No. Look, Charlie Brewer didn't play poorly in this game. They marched the ball down the field late and had a chance to win it. There wasn't this sense of urgency, because he made two – well, he didn't really make two bad throws. He made one bad throw, but it was on fourth down.
Yeah.
And it was on an easy throw, and it was kind of in a situation where he makes that throw 10 out of 10 times. I mean, that throw to the flat where he should have completed it, just – you know, he just overshot the runway. And sometimes that happens. Sometimes it happens early in the season. When you have a veteran guy like this – You they'll bounce back from it, and it may be next week. And so you got to expect to see a much tougher, a much more resilient Charlie Brewer this week than you saw last week.
If you look at the rest of the schedule, the BYU game doesn't need to. Nothing has to happen with BYU. Nothing needs to. I mean, the game is Utah's 1-1. They haven't even started Pac-12 play yet, and they're not going to start Pac-12 play even this week. And so. Not that you want to just go, wow, we're taking this week off until we get to the Pac-12 play, but this is one of those times where they can kind of still, they get a little bit of a mulligan this week to go, all right, before we get back into conference play, let's reset here. Let's focus on those goals. I mean, it's an interesting thing, because we're talking about things that, when have we ever had to talk about a Kyle Whittingham team that was so outplayed, or like, you know, just didn't feel motivated? I think the thing that comes to mind is the Pac-12 championship game, maybe against Oregon, or that in that same year, that Alamo Bowl against Texas, where it was just like, it doesn't even feel like they want to be here, you know, like, or they weren't ready for whatever this was, or it just seemed like a little bit of a letdown. So not that Kyle Whittingham hasn't lost games before in his career, but just to see the, you know, Utah get out pushed on the offensive defensive lines was a wild thing to me. Usually they're the more physical team. So does there need to be more run? Does there need to be more of a run game? Does there need to be more of a pass game? Have you been impressed at all by the wide receivers so far, or what? I mean, obviously the tight ends are really good. So what is the game plan?
I don't know what the game plan last week was. I didn't feel like they really knew what they wanted to do. I don't feel like they felt confident in anything that they were calling. And you have these – Salmonidis is a very talented wide receiver. Britton Covey, Brant Keithy. I mean, Utah's got talent. They just never seem to find a way to get the ball to people. Now, when you're not consistently having drives, it's really hard to get everyone involved in the offense. You have to wonder if maybe sometimes it's too many people. There's too many things that Utah can do, and you kind of have to pick your poison in some, you know, just what is it? And so when you get in those tough situations, you go to those guys that you can count on. You go to your playmakers. You find ways to get them the ball. You know, like Utah found Brant Keithy on the post touchdown, and that's what you really want to look for in those situations.
You know what's funny is everybody in the booth saw that coming. Like, we were watching it, and we were like, Brant Keithy's going to be over the middle. It's going to be, like, the easiest catch. And he was. It was just, like, it was insane to see when they actually put those things together that, you know, that guy is going to be NFL talent, so you might as well use those guys.
Really, if you look at last week's game, it was like BYU was either going to drop eight or they were going to rush and put pressure. And so Utah, it felt like it was just trying to guess, when are they going to do that? When are they not going to do that? And big plays are there when you have teams that do that. And you just got to take advantage when you get those opportunities, and Utah just didn't in a lot of situations.
Let's take our second break here, and when we come back, let's get back into a little bit of Big 12 talk. I've allowed myself to go like like a few minutes, a few moments during the week without talking about the Big 12. So now that it's Tuesday, I'm going to get into it with BYU entering the Big 12 in 2023. But I don't want to talk about football. You'll be surprised. I want to talk about basketball. And I want to talk about how important that move is. It's just as big of a move, I think, for the basketball team to be in that Big 12 as the football team in terms of exposure and in terms of being competitive right off the bat and keeping Mark Pope around in Provo for as long as you can. We'll take the break here. We'll come back. We've got more to go. News, traffic, and weather right now at the bottom of the hour. Plus, I'll tell you where we're going to be tomorrow for our Tour de Fans. Stay with us here on KSL's Unrivaled.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.